Soul Smart, What the Dead Teach Us About Spirit Communication with Suzanne Wilson. How to make connections with your spirit guides and the ones that you love that have gone on to the other side. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And we're going to take a little walk on the paranormal side tonight. Suzanne Wilson is a medium, intuition expert, and spiritual teacher. Suzanne says that she was born gifted but hid in a psychic closet while working as a corporate executive until a near-death experience changed her mind about what matters most in life and the afterlife. And, of course, she's been on the program before. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. Thanks for having me back.
I'm looking forward to this. I look forward to meeting you again in September at the Soul Summit in Scottsdale. I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk about that later on, but that should be a great event.
It's always a lot of fun, especially with you there.
Well, you know, I love meeting our Coast to Coast listeners at these events. They just, I don't know, it's fun. It really is to see them up front and personal. And I get great feedback for the show when I meet them. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that too. So tell us about this near-death experience that changed your life. What happened?
Well, in 2007, I was just living a normal life, I guess you could say. I was sort of a high flyer, working very hard, full-time in a corporate position for a very large company. I was also working on a doctoral degree in human resources development, but I was not very happy, George. I just kept buying stuff and more stuff.
Uh-huh.
And something was missing. There was a hole. And I found out what that was when I had anaphylaxis, a very severe allergic reaction.
Oh, geez.
And left my body for a little bit.
That would scare you, wouldn't it?
Well, it not only scared me, but it woke me up. It woke me up in the way that it's pretty indescribable to you, but backing up a little bit, I was a really psychic kid. I could see colors and spirits around people,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to hide all of that to fit in. But after this near-death experience, I couldn't hide it anymore. In fact, I had to learn how to shut it off to function in the world, and I didn't want to be that corporate person anymore.
So once that happened, what'd you do? Walk out and said, that's it? I quit?
I wish. You know, when you make more money, you just spend more money. So I had to figure out how to divest from life of all of the things that you have. And I've downsized.
Sure.
I actually like a lot better. But I knew that I had a different calling. That's all it was. And I have to say right up front, I know that a lot of Coast to Coast listeners, they hear, oh, there's going to be another psychic medium on. Oh, boy, they're going to tell us how great they are at talking to the dead. And I have to tell you, no, that's not what it's about. I'm going to tell people how great they are at talking to their spirit people and guides.
And when you say talking to them, can we do it in a meditative state? Do we go into a trance state? Do we have to go to sleep in a dream? How does that happen?
It doesn't even have to be that fancy or that contrived or programmed or set up. Sometimes the inspiration just comes to us like a very clear, spontaneous thought. I have friends and clients that tell me, I get inspiration all the time in the shower. I'm like, okay.
So wherever it happens, so be it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about discernment. Is the information loving? Is it rational? Does it make sense? Does it feel like it's for your higher purpose? Were you seeking answers? But there are organized ways to get the answers you need to make decisions with a heart space of calm and peace.
How many people, Suzanne, do you think have this ability that you have and that some other people have?
If you're talking about the ability to make connections for others, I think there are way more people out there that have the ability, but they don't have the calling necessarily to go into a life of service. Like, I have to say, I no longer am looking for people to come to me just for readings. In fact, I can't get you in for a very, very long time. But I'm looking for people to teach them how to make their own direct connection. I feel like everybody can learn how to direct connect to their own spirit people, their own spirit guides, their own pets on the other side, but not everybody can sit and do readings all the time. That's more of a calling to service than it is a choice.
Right, not everybody's an Edgar Cayce type.
Oh, gosh. And that's another thing, too. Edgar Cayce shortened his life by working too hard.
Yep, exactly. I have told many Edgar Cayce experts who have corroborated that story, that Edgar Cayce, in his trance state, literally wore himself to death by doing so many trance readings.
Listen, I've put myself in the hospital with very weird things that the doctors are just scratching their heads. So I've had to back off on readings too. And the problem is, service-oriented people, we have a hard time saying no. But it's been my great pleasure and honor in the last 3 years or so to get more into teaching and researching and serving on a board of directors for an afterlife research institute. I just completed 3 years doing that. And now I'm stepping back so I can do some more writing. But I've been learning some really interesting stuff.
Well, and what you did, leaving the corporate world, leaving that comfort, was pretty gutsy.
I had no choice. I just could not get into it. In fact, I knew if I stayed any longer than I did, which it took probably 7 or 8 months to move and, you know, get rid of a big house and a big mortgage and all that stuff, I knew if I took much longer, they would can me, because I just wasn't the old me anymore. I think I was a little too soft and kind, and that's not what that job wanted.
No, not at all. That's an interesting take. Let's talk about some different aspects of some of the things you've been looking at, Suzanne. First of all, extraterrestrials. What's your take on all that?
They're here. They're all around us. Some of them are even our spirit guides. Some we may call angels. You know, these are all just labels. A friend of ours, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, was fond of saying, we live in an interdimensional world. And she's right. And I believe that most of these ultra-terrestrials, I am more into calling them, I think they're here to help us, not to harm us. And, you know, please, folks, don't email me and call me and tell me you were abducted, because I know that that happens too. But that would be like blaming everyone in America if an American robbed you. There's changes going on. They seem to be preparing us for something shifting on our planet.
When you say they are preparing us, you're talking about the ETs? Because I don't think government is.
No, the government just wants to disseminate information that helps them. And they're very short-term oriented, as you know. They're not looking at the big picture. The big picture is, we're going to find out beyond any doubt that not only are we not alone in the universe, but there are many others far more advanced than us. And we're going to learn who we really are as souls on the earth. You're going to find out more about yourself by how you deal with the changes that are coming.
How in the world did a medium, psychic, intuitive get involved in ET work?
They started coming to me. Years ago, a colleague, a medium and teacher, said to me, you know, the ETs like to come to you. And I said, I know, I don't look at them, I don't entertain them, I kind of want them to just go away. And he's like, good luck with that. And a few years later, one of my guides came to me and said, you know, I've never incarnated on the earth before, so that would make me one of those things you don't want to be around, right?
Interesting take. And was it through that spirit guide that you began to realize that, you know, these ETs are the real deal?
It was. And I feel like I was so scared at first. It was like a prejudice that I had. I was coloring every interdimensional being with that picture of these, you know, weird little green men and abductions and things like that. But there's this whole other side. I mean, if we think about words just being labels, one person's angel is another person's extraterrestrial.
And do they have souls?
Yes, they do. They do. And our animals have souls. The soul is the consciousness. It's the animator. It is the life force within. The body is just the shell. It seems to be the same for them. And some of them have physical bodies, and some of them are completely light bodies. But most of my guides and most people's guides aren't interdimensional in terms of their origination. Most of our guides, they got to be our guides because they lived so many earthly lives. They amassed all that experience, so they know how to guide you.
I've got a friend of mine. She's 83 years old. God love her. She's been a close friend of our family for years. She was walking across the street and got hit by a truck. She's okay. She's okay, but she was battered. For 83, she's rebounded pretty darn fast. But in the process of all this, Suzanne, she picked up a stray black cat and took it home because, you know, it was starving to death and everything else, and she's taking care of it now. And this cat, I saw it today, has yellow eyes and looked at me like I've looked like no little animal has ever looked at me before. You know, I'm a dog guy primarily. I like cats, but I'm a dog guy. I mean, that's what I've had. I've had one cat in my life for my kids. And this little cat was like a human being just looking at me. There's something there.
Yes, George. That cat is there to help your friend to heal. And that is a mission that that cat came in to do. I mean, doesn't that resonate with you? Don't you get like a
yep.
like a tug in your heartstrings? Because
the timing was weird. You know what? She like gets hit, she finds a cat.
Yes, but the cat has to seem helpless. Otherwise, she wouldn't have taken the cat in. They
right.
help each other. It's beautiful.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. Interesting take there. Now, you have something that is very sensitive, and I want to talk with you about it. Something that a lot of talk shows won't touch on, we do, because we've had calls from people who have been on the brink of suicide, and hopefully I think we have helped them. What does the other side say about those victims, or what do those victims who have committed suicide say about what they did?
I'm glad that you're bringing it up. I know it is a hot button issue and people are fearful of it, and you have helped many to understand their value and to stay here on the earth. Those who come through from the other side to credible mediums over the last, I'm going to say 150 years, have told us that not only are they fine, but they're doing well. But they always tell us, and I say always, there's always an exception to always, right? But they tell us that they wish they had stayed, but that they are not in a bad place, that there's no one on the other side of life that condemns them in any way. It's quite the opposite. They're trying to help them to let go of any regrets they have for leaving. And so they're not in constant pain. They're not having anxiety. In fact, they'll tell us many times they'll go to a healing place when they first get there, halls of healing, and they're surrounded in love and they get to recoup. But that doesn't fix it. They still have to look back on their lives. They want to look back on their lives, George. They want to figure out, why did I go through all that suffering only to punch my own ticket and to have death by suicide? It's not this horrible purgatory or hell or all these things that we've been told. It's more like, darn it. You know, I can see the pain of the people I left behind. I'm going to send them all my love and light and help them heal. So there is a healing process that goes on.
So they're not doomed to hell and damnation, that some people think that they will be.
But then they start thinking, they think a lot, and they go to some kind of therapy. The souls have been telling mediums, including me, that they have discussion circles where they sit and talk. And this could be a mixed circle, people passed in many different ways. And the folks who had death by suicide will say, you know, there was this moment where if I could go back, I wouldn't do it.
So they do have some regret.
They do, but it's not that you were putting the earthly spin on it when we talk about regret, pain, sorrow. For them, it's bittersweet. It's just like those who died whatever way that miss us. They're not pining away from us, for us. They have wonderful lives. It's an honor and a pleasure to miss us here, but it's a little less of a pleasure when you wish you had stayed here longer. So don't think the loved ones are suffering. They're not, but they're working some things through.
I mean, are they so regretful that they can't advance on the other side, or how do they handle that?
As far as advancement on the other side goes, that seems to be, from all the research, that seems to be colored by the love and compassion that we're able to give and receive. So as long as they feel worthy, and as long as they can give and receive that compassion where they are now, there's no limit in that unlimited heavenly country.
So when I go to the other side, I want to be a spirit guide. How do I become one?
I think you've already been a spirit guide, George. You've done so much to advance afterlife studies here on this planet. Yeah.
Maybe.
You don't know about that one.
Maybe. I mean, you believe in reincarnation, I assume.
I do. And recently I've seen an increase of pets reincarnating and coming back because...
Do they come back as pets or people?
They come back as pets, but we have some data that shows us that they may come back as a horse when they were a dog last time.
Okay, but they can't come back as a human.
So far, I haven't seen any evidence of that.
All right.
I know that the Buddhists believe that, but I myself haven't uncovered any research on that.
Interesting. We have a couple more suicide questions, and then we'll move on to some other things because you have helped a lot of people yourself. And what about the person who, you know, tries to commit suicide, has a regret, doesn't want to, but they've gone too far and they end up dying? What happens to them?
I have heard that before. I tried to get back into my body, they'll say, or I asked for a do-over, or I didn't realize this was permanent because I was high, or I was wasted or drunk, or whatever it was. And no sooner do they have that thought than they're in the arms of grandma on the other side, or a religious figure, or someone that they admire, or all the pets that they've ever loved that have transitioned. And that thought of, let me go back, seems to go away. There also, after that resting period, and some of the souls call it spirit rehab, where they go and rest, it's kind of like a spa or a hospital that's really nice. After that period, sometimes they don't deal with it at all. They'll have a really quick life review, kind of skip that ending part and say, look, I need to just enjoy this place for a while, like take a vacation, and then I'm going to come back, I'm going to analyze this, I'm going to sit with my guides and talk. They really work these things through, but it doesn't seem to matter whether it was pre-planned or spontaneous or however they got there. There is going to be someone to help. No one arrives alone or scared, and that people can take comfort from.
Who helps the most? The person who has committed suicide helping the person who's alive, or the person who's alive helping the victim who committed suicide?
I think it is a symbiotic relationship. I think the energy flow that goes from heart to heart and from soul to soul, that love bond that lives forever, it's both ways.
It does go both ways, doesn't it? And I think both sides benefit from this.
Yeah. And, you know, I teased you about you being a spirit guide in the past, but I kind of got that spinal chill that I get when mm-hmm. there's a hit, and then I got my thumbs up, green light, and ding, ding, ding. But I think you were really, that tells me that that's true, but I think you were really asking how does somebody get to be a spirit guide. And we've heard about councils of guides, where a soul is either nominated or goes and volunteers. But the important thing for listeners to remember is that guides don't get to be guides overnight.
No, it takes time. Suzanne, hold on. We're going to hit a break. We'll come back and talk more. Phone calls next hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Suzanne Wilson with us as we talk about her work on the other side. Her website, carefreemedium.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. You have talked about the need to ground and protect yourselves. And how does that work, and why do we have to do that?
Well, George, it's very controversial. I've always recommended to students that are working with me to develop intuition or mediumship to have a grounding and centering and protection practice, but also go to other teachers and just, you know, get a sampling of what everyone's teaching. And they'll come back to me and say, well, there are teachers saying, oh, your good intentions are all you need. Don't worry about it. And I beg to differ. So I get into some controversy with that. But I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why.
Yes, I am much more leery of the energies of the living people than I have ever been of the spirit people.
But when you say grounding, though, what does that mean? I mean, I think of grounding as like a lightning rod on a house or something like that.
Well, that's definitely grounding. But what I have in mind is more like a visualization that you have a grounding cord that goes down deep into the earth or roots beneath your feet that are grounding you. It's also as simple as taking three big, deep breaths, one at a time, and breathing out slowly just to bring your energy back to center. And then any kind of intention that you set, you can say a prayer or a poem or simply I'm in my bubble of protection or I'm grounded in the light or I'm taking a white light shower. Anything that you do that resonates with you that you will use, that's the best grounding and centering. But again, it's really more about not picking up energies from the living because there's not that much scary, bad, evil out there. Unlike what the television shows say about the spirit world.
So is that what we're truly, really trying to protect ourselves from, the living?
I call them spiritual dust bunnies. Yeah, you're around somebody and they're angry and they're cranky and there's just like the mood just changes.
Negative, negative, negative. Yeah.
So some of that energy can be like a little dust bunny that sticks into your energy, and you'll be carrying that around. Or you get angry, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you have this bad thought. So, you know, take a little white light shower sometime during the day. Have a once a day in the morning. As soon as, you know, I use the keyword toothbrush. If you see your toothbrush in the morning, and most of us brush our teeth in the morning.
I would hope we do.
Really? So, you know, when you see that, just think, did I do anything for grounding and centering yet? Nope. Okay, I'm going to stop and do it. It takes just like 5 or 10 seconds, and it can be anything that you want. Some people just say, I'm standing in a column of light. That's it.
That's the technique?
That is a very simple form of a technique.
Really?
What gives it power is you do it every single day, and it's your intention. Intention is everything. I really do mean to be standing in the light.
What about negative entities, though? Because they are out there, and they have attached themselves to people.
That's right. Don't go ghost hunting, folks.
Really?
I definitely don't advise that unless you are a serious researcher, you've invested in equipment, you're taking measurements, you're serious about it,
And even then, you could get hit, right?
And you can get hit, and then you're going to have to work extra hard. It's not going to be so simple as I'm standing in a golden bubble or I'm standing in bright white light. So the main thing is if you're not out looking for negative entities and you're not robbing, cheating, stealing, murdering, the chances of you running into one are pretty slim.
Interesting take on that. I've met a lot of people who have incredible karma and energy. Then I've met a lot of people who are like psychic vampires and sap your energy.
Yes. Yes. And they will see a bright light. They just intuit, oh, here's somebody that's going to give me a lot of sympathy for my stories. I'm going to come over and unload all my stories right now, dump a big load of spiritual dust bunnies on them and take their good light. And so now we're talking about high empathy people or empaths, those people who are easy victims for those who want to take their energy. The empath senses the moods, feelings, and emotions of a person. And so, you know, that is about self-maintenance and self-care and making sure that you're not feeding into someone's story. There are tips and tools for that.
Give us a tip.
First off, just visualize, imagine, or simply know that you have a dial in the middle of your chest and you can dial down your heart chakra, not the heart itself, but the heart energy, that center of compassion. And
yeah, you don't want to dial down your heart too much.
Let's keep that heart beating. But, you know, when you have that person come near you, I'm dialing it down so I'm not taking on their energy. And as they tell their story, Don't keep asking them, oh, then what did you do? And then what happened next? Da, 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 da. Just tell them, I'm so sorry you went through that. I wish you the best. And a lot of times they just don't know what to say after that. They're like, oh, I can't unload here. I'll go on to the next.
Well, I got to tell you, that's pretty fascinating. So the technique when you wake up in the morning should be, I engulf myself in light. What will give us
Yes,
that thing again?
before your feet even touch the floor, if you can remember to do this, there's a couple different ways. First off, when you first know that you're awake, and you know, George, where you don't quite have your eyes open, but you know you're awake, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's a hypnagogic state. It's highly suggestible, and you're more in touch with your soul because possibly you've just been dreaming and astral traveling. And so when you first know you're awake, give gratitude for that day. Hey, I got another day. Thank you for this day. What do I need to know today? You can ask that question. The guides might pop a word into your mind or an image into your mind to give you a heads up about something, and then set your intention for that day. For me, I surround myself in a golden bubble of protection, bathed in divine white light, and then I surround all my loved ones on earth. And I send that intention. Because I'm doing that every single morning, that intention gets powerful and strong, and it doesn't take long to do it. Energy thoughts are energy, and this is real. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it isn't happening.
Since you've been doing this, have you seen or give us a story of what you would say would be a remarkable episode of somebody protecting themselves?
Okay, well, I have been in haunted houses, but only because I wanted to help loved ones who had situations. And there was a situation in a house way up in the Santa Cruz Mountains that was incredibly haunted. And I had a relative living in this house. And the people living in the house with her are all family. And what would happen, I could see when I sat down at night at a certain time, all of these uncrossed over souls, those who decided I'm not going to go into the light and I'm going to hang out, would come and just surround everybody inside the house. And they would start to get nervous. Not that it was scary or bad or anything, but it's, you know, that feeling like somebody's breathing down your neck, but you can't see them.
Especially when you're driving and you know they're
Oh,
behind you.
creepy. Oh, that's the worst. And so I taught them, when you feel that way, ask your angels and guides to come in and shower you in white light and to talk to these entities and tell them this isn't the room you should be in right now, and just be polite with it. And they did. They actually were like, oh, excuse me, sorry. Because as a clairvoyant, I'm able to watch this and see this. And so sometimes we don't realize how much control we have of the energy around us. We're assuming that the spirit world is all-knowing and all-powerful, and we're at their mercy, and we're not. In fact, these were two female spirits that simply wanted to be acknowledged. When they were acknowledged, they left.
Do you help people who have been possessed or have demons all over them?
I have not had any experience with possession
Okay,
or
so
with
you're not like an
demons.
exorcist too. You don't do that.
Nothing like that has happened. It's funny because I keep getting asked that because I've written about how my granddad was a Presbyterian preacher, and as a kid, he's the one I confided in about being beat up at school, and I didn't want to go to school, and we were really poor. I didn't have the nicest clothes, and here I was saying all these weird things about spirit people being around, and he didn't believe that demons could possess people either. But what he told me was the demon is really the person. It's the physical person. It's the person on earth making the decision to give over all their thoughts, words, and actions to a darkness. And I just don't, I don't, I don't, I know it exists out there, but I don't run into it, George.
Have you been lucky?
Probably, but I've also not gone looking for trouble.
Now, the spirit guides themselves, can some of them be angels?
Yes, there seems to be a cultural difference as well. In some countries, they say the guardian. You have the guardian. And I think Americans can confuse that with guardian angel for a little bit. So if somebody's listening, you're a Coast Insider, and you're going, wait, I always talk to my angel, not my guide, you're cool. No worries. It's a label. You have an interdimensional being that loves, guides, and supports you. They don't exactly know your future, but they can see a little ways out, and they're helping you. However you perceive them is fine.
You've always said that people are hardwired to be intuitive. Explain that.
You come here in this body ready to tap into your own intuition. It's like when you buy a car and it's got this really awesome GPS, but you never turn it on or use it. What a waste. Or it comes with the satellite radio subscription for a year, but you don't know how to use it. What a waste. The physical energy centers connected through the body, especially like the solar plexus, is a center of personal power. The heart for clear sentience, clear feeling, the throat for clear audience, clear hearing. Your soul self is using energy centers that run through the body to fire up and make intuition work. Once you know how to tap in, it can just get stronger and stronger and stronger, but it is connected to the body.
You've had a couple dogs that you believe have reincarnated and have come back to you. Tell me about that.
Oh my God.
And how do you know? How do you know? Well, I guess you do know this. That's what you do. But
yes. Yeah, it's kind of crazy because I sound like the, I guess I'm not a crazy cat lady. I'm a crazy dog lady, huh? But I had a dream. I was the third of our schnauzers over many years. We've had three. The third one had finally crossed over, and we woke up one morning, and for the first time in 20 years, there was no dog to feed. And man, we were bereft, and we went a few weeks like that. One night I had a dream, and in this dream, my guides came and they showed me a little black and silver puppy, and they said, this is Marley, the dog we had before, coming back to you. And long story short, I was guided to look at the exact right breeder on the internet, contacted her, texted her, and said, do you have a little black and silver schnauzer? And she said, I'll let you know tomorrow. Well, I thought, gosh, she's busy. No, he was actually being born that night, and he was the only one colored like that in that litter, and she's the breeder I was brought to.
How about that?
And it just unfolded. The next dog, same thing. He's the brother in the litter. And they do similar things as the other dogs did. They have very strange eccentricities that match. I have people contact me and say, how do I get my dog back? How do I get my horse to come back? How do I know? How do I find them if they're coming? Here's the deal. We don't get to decide that. Otherwise, we'd all have them back, wouldn't we, George?
That's true. That's true. I wrote a book with the late Rosemary Ellen Guiley called Talking to the Dead. And it was about how to communicate with the other side. Do you think technically, because things are getting so advanced digitally, that and I do believe that the other side is energy. Do you think one day, like the spirit con phones and things like that, where they tried to communicate with the dead, that will be very easy to do it, maybe through a computer?
Well, that's one of my favorite books. I love how it's unfolding the stories as, you know, you're sitting there in the studio and stuff. But I got to tell you, I don't know if the spirit world wants us to have this technology. I don't know. I mean, I've served as a volunteer on programs to develop such a technology, and I've connected with these great scientists on the other side in double-blind and triple-blind studies so that we know it's, you know, 99% sure it's really them helping work on it. Nothing's 100%. I don't know if we're ready for it. I don't know if – I think – the people on Earth have to become more worthy of having a phone to the other side. And I don't know that we're there.
Wouldn't it be great to be able to send them text messages and get a response?
Yeah. I mean, just think about, you know, getting Aunt Edna's apple strudel recipe that nobody knows anymore.
How long have you been doing this now?
My whole life. It's literally 4 decades in earnest for the last dozen. And I've met amazing people, and I feel like this world is changing so much in the last 3 years. People are more open. We live in difficult times, but we live in some of the most exciting times to be on Earth ever.
Well, we're going to come back in just a moment, Suzanne, and take phone calls with you in terms of what you do as a medium and as a spirit expert as well. Suzanne's website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, is called carefreemedium.com. She does have a book out called Sold Smart, What the Dead Teach Us About the Spirit Communication. I will be with her in September. Full information at our carousel reel at coasttocoastam.com at the Soul Summit in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the Doubletree Resort in Scottsdale, with some other great spirit guides who are just going to put on one heck of a program. So if you want to come out to Scottsdale, just get the information at coasttocoastam.com in the highlight reel.